rule you. And I think that's crazy. I think that's insane. There's no sincerity there. Tonight I'm going to show you the difference between parents, father and mother, how to obey parents in the Lord, how to honor father and mother, and have all this grace, all this peace, all this prosperity. Have a complete change in your family, a complete change in your relationship with your wife, with you, with your children, with your employees, with your employer, with your body, and it all is going to hinge on two things: obeying parents in the Lord and honoring father and mother. The first commandment with promise, that thou mayest prosper and live long on this earth. Two things: obey your parents in the Lord and honor your father and mother, and know that father and mother and parents in the Lord are not the same. Also know what obey means and what honor means. Your life will change. Your life will change as of tomorrow morning. Things will start changing. Or you can continue living in this rotting, decaying, gradually declining existence that you have. And look at your marriage. It's the bloom has gone off of it, hasn't it? That little rose is just kind of wilting. It's decaying. It's rotting. You know, someone gave me a rose. They cut it, and I put it in distilled water. And I have it there on my desk, and it's always, the word is always going on there. I'm always studying the word, and that rose opened up, and it bloomed, and then the petals start falling off, and people start telling me, you should throw that away. I'm not throwing it away. I kept the water in there, and I keep it in the light, and still hearing the word, and it was clipped. All the petals are gone. It looks just like a twig. But the leaves are still there. You know what I saw the other day? At the bottom, a new shoot coming out. That thing's been there for a month, if it's been a day, if not longer. The petals are long gone, but there's still life in that thing. And it was cut off. It's got air and water. And it regenerated again. And then I have the little Cory plant, and my Helene plant is coming. They're doing just fine. The other day, I said, no, this needs moisture, because it was looking a little bit poopy. So I took it in. I said, I'm going to take a shower, and I'm going to put it in there, and all the moisture, it gets moisture out of the air. And I just put a little thing in front of the plant, because I was taking a shower. And now it's springy. It's nice. It's shooting things up. And I'm saying, Lord, how amazing. You show me these things with a little green, a little chlorophyll green little plant, which is nothing in your sight compared to me. And look how your word works here. This little rose stem won't die. This air plant won't die. And I said, why would it not work for me? Of course it'll work for me. So I don't know. Maybe I may end up having twigs and things all over the place before it's over. But I don't care. I love to see. I love to see his word reality. And some will say, oh yes, it's such a blessing, such a blessing, such a blessing to see a stem of rose still existing, such a blessing of God, manifestation of God. I say, look, you lily-livered, mealy-mouthed, sanctimonious, pious hypocrite, I would rather see one of these roses continue to sprout and flower and grow. I just get there and say, well, I have to watch this twig until you guys start sprouting again. Yeah. I'd much rather see you. Yeah. Oh, would I love to see roses and stems and shoots coming out and seed all over the place and have a whole garden in your life. In the meantime, I say, well, Lord, I'll satisfy myself with this little twig here as it's growing. I really would rather it was you. Don't put yourself in the position where the only reality, the only thing that I can see that's prospering, that's you, is to put your name under a plant. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to yourself. Come back tonight and listen to the difference between parents and father and mother. Your whole life will change. Brother Duane, would you close the service in prayer? Get that searchlight for me, will you? I think all the planes landed already. We don't need the landing lights. Oh, would that you wanted so much light in everything. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, again for the privilege the opportunity and the honor of preaching, teaching, and hearing your word. Father God, I thank you for the truth. I thank you, Father, for those that are here to hear the truth tonight. I pray for those, Father, that the truth is more than they can stand. I ask you, Father, to impress upon them that it's the only hope we have. The truth is not our enemy, it's the only friend we have. It's the only protector. It's the only salvation. It's the only hope. Thank you, Father, that I know that, and that I accept that. Thank you for giving me that ability. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, we're going to find out why some people are without hope. Why there are some people that no matter how bad your situation is, it just seems like no matter how hard you try, having a situation where you can trust the Lord is just more than you're able to do. And I'm not here to criticize that fact. I'm here to tell you why it happens. I'm here to tell you why it's out of your control to try to love the Lord and to try to accept the truth after the fact. If you can't accept it now, if you can't deal with it now, you're not going to deal with it then. And the reason that you can't is Ephesians 6:1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then in verse 2 makes a distinction between parents and father and mother. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on this earth. So you see, God is making a point that it's extremely important in his sight how you deal with parents and father and mother. And that you understand there is a distinction between the two. Father and mother are the people that were necessary for you to have physical life when you were born. Parents are what is necessary for you to have spiritual life when you were born again. So you see, you've had two births, you've had two lives. Why can't you accept the two parents are necessary? One who are parents in the Lord, and a father and a mother. Now, to make the distinction, to prove to you that children obey your parents is not talking about your children obeying you. Because you see, children really don't have much say, do they? How can God hold children accountable for obeying their parents in the Lord and saying your life is going to depend, how well you are and how long you live on this earth is going to depend on how much you obey your parents? If that were true, none of us would have made it past when. Amen. There would be no kids in here now. They'd all be dead. Why? Because they don't obey their parents in the Lord or otherwise. So this must be talking about people who God holds accountable. So we look at the scripture and it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This word children comes from a Greek word that doesn't mean children as begotten, children as born. Children, it means children as reared, as produced. In other words, you get a product and you turn that into something else. So he says, those of you that want to be produced or want to be reared by the Lord, obey your parents in the Lord. So this word children is children as in raising children, not bearing children. Father and mother bear children. Parents raise children. Unfortunately, your parents don't know the difference because in terms of bearing you, they were all for it. Because that was fun. And we want to have fun till their daddy took the T-bird away. Because you see, once the fun was over and they brought this bawling, squalling, leaky thing that just seemed like it was losing everything. There were fluids coming out everywhere. Green things from here and other colors from there. And
yellow and green and brown and clear, and it's just, wow, what is wrong with this person? There's nothing stays where it belongs. Well, all of a sudden, this child-rearing thing and child-bearing, when as soon as they knew the distinction between the two, it became obvious what your mom and dad were interested in. They were interested in child-bearing, not child-rearing. So as a result of that, you pretty much just raised yourself, which is the best argument that I can make for your condition. Having become your own parent, as in the words of that old song, you're your own grandma, you turn out being your own parent. So as a result, you reared yourself, and so you obey only you. So as a result, whatever you think, that's law. Nothing I can say or do is going to change because you are the child rearer. You're the child rearer, but you think you're the child rearer. Now it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I'm going to teach you now why you cannot obey the truth, even though you believe it, even though you want to obey. It doesn't end up that way for the simple reason that, first of all, you don't recognize who the parents are, and secondly, you don't know what obey means. You don't know how to obey. You know what the end result ought to be, but you don't know how to do it. The word obey, this word from the Greek, has three definitions, one for each of your minds, by the way. And they're sequential. This is how obedience of your parents in the Lord happens. This is the only way that you'll ever change, the only way you'll ever learn the truth, and the only way you'll ever obey the truth, even though you agree. Isn't it sad that you agree with that you cannot obey? For the simple reason that you don't know how. I'm going to teach you how tonight, God willing. Definition number one of the word obey, and here's where every single person in this room loses it right off the start. Definition number one, to hear as a subordinate. You see, every time you call, you already, your mind's made up. And you've got the position already, and I've got to fight you for the position that's mine and have you take the position of being subordinate. You never call with a clear, open mind. Your mind's made up already. You don't listen as a subordinate. Now understand this, the word obey does not mean do everything I tell you. It means to hear as a subordinate. In other words, if you don't think that I know more than you, then for God's sake, call someone you do think knows more than you. The last thing in the world you ought to do is call someone for advice whom you think you know better than they do. That doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't go to Ace Hardware store to get your tonsils pulled out and ask the guy there, would you use that rake and rip them out with that rake there? No, you would call someone who you feel, medically, I'm subordinate to this person. This person is a doctor. They've been to college. Internship. They've practiced for so many years, so I listen to them as a subordinate. They must know more than I do. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to walk up to them and say, well, I think we got to take out your tonsils, your kidneys, your liver, and say, wait a minute. You got to convince me. I'm listening to you. I believe you know what you're talking about, but it's got to make sense. You don't automatically obey your doctor just because he's a doctor. He's got to show you the test, doesn't he? He's got to show you proof. This is why you're leaking again, child. This is why you can't keep any fluids in you. So he proves to you that you started out being a subordinate. If he brought you the test and said, I don't believe that. Well, I think I'd be better off dead than what you're proposing. Me be without my kidney or with this or whatever? No, I'd be better off dead. I know more than you do. You would never approach the doctor that way. So you don't listen as a subordinate. And I'm telling you why you need to listen as a subordinate. Because if you put yourself in that position, then the person that's talking to you better tell you the truth, or you're not going to buy it. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ said, have no other gods before me. Now, when you put yourself in a subordinate position and say, I am putting myself in a subordinate, I am kneeling to an authority greater than mine. Do you think God's going to let Satan sneak in there and take advantage of your faith? The reason that you can't hear the truth is because you don't hear it as a subordinate. You don't hear anything as a subordinate. Now, the minute you approach this to hear as a subordinate, then phase number two of obey comes in, which means to listen attentively. Which means first you listen as a subordinate. He knows more than I do. I'm going to pay attention. Which means that's the only way you're going to take in the full import of what that person is saying. That's the only way you're going to have all of the information inside of your mind so you can decide whether it's the truth or not. And what does the Bible say? It says, your spirit will agree with the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God in you and the Spirit of God in the truth will agree. And you say, I know that's right. But what was necessary for, first of all, to listen as a subordinate, to hear as a subordinate, and to listen, to pay attention. You're too busy defending. You're too busy deciding your position ahead of time and too busy defending that position. You're too busy trying to put me in the position of your attacker, the one that's trying to hurt you, the one that you have to defend yourself from. Because if you're not careful, I will steal from you and I will hurt you. And you base that on the past history of how much more money you had when you came here. How much better off you were, how much more that you knew. And all of these physical blessings that you had and the peace and contentment that you enjoyed before you came here. And you've lost, I've robbed you blind, so you better be careful, man. This guy is trying to take you to the cleaners. I don't understand where you got that notion. First you hear as a subordinate. The minute you do that, you'll start paying attention. You will never pay attention to someone you feel superior to. So you see, you first choose someone that you believe knows more than you. That automatically means you'll pay attention. Now, if you pay attention, the next definition is to heed or conform to the authority and the advice, which means you can't lose. In other words, if you listen as a subordinate, pay attention, that means you will automatically obey if it's the truth. In other words, you say, I am listening as a subordinate to the truth, not to the messenger, to the message. Now, I am a child of the living God. So the only one I am subordinate to is God. So if I were a general, if I were a five-star general in the army, the only one I would be subordinate to would be the president or the chief of staff or whatever the chain of command is. Somebody. But if I were to walk into a meeting full of people, privates, colonels, enlisted sergeants, other generals, and the president, and I would say, yes, sir. Immediately, sir. As you order, sir. Who would I be talking to? Would everybody else in the room also know who I was talking to? Because they know that I'm only subordinate to the president. They know by all the stripes and the stars and the little birds. And by the way, I broke the wing on my little angel. I have a one-winged angel now. Now it flies in circles, which maybe is appropriate. Because my little angel walked in circles as well. Oh well. Where was I when I so rudely interrupted myself? So now, if I know my position, and I put myself in as a subordinate, and everybody else in the room knows who I am, and they know who I'm subordinate to, and I say, "Your orders, sir, I stand ready to obey your orders," is some private going to get up and say, "Go out there and do this or that?" No way. So if I say I am a son, a child of the living God, ordained by Jesus Christ to have power and dominion over everything on this earth in Jesus' name, now I am making myself subordinate, then who's the only one that can talk to me? Who's the only one that can give me instructions? Who's the only one that could order me and lead me? Only Jesus Christ himself. So you see, when you hear as a subordinate, only one person will speak, your superior. But when you don't hear as a subordinate, everybody puts their two cents in. Now understand this, if a room full of sinful people recognize authority and would recognize that I am not their subordinate, and therefore would not try to order me, even though I would say, "Sir, I stand ready to obey your orders," and no one but a person superior to me would dare to order me, because I've got authority superior to theirs, then I never have to worry about orders or instructions coming from anybody other than my superior, which in this case is the president himself only. So I'm free and clear, which means whatever orders come, I better obey them, because they're coming from the top. Because I'm second from the top. So now, when I hear as a subordinate, I listen attentively, then whatever order comes, comes from my superior. Now I'm asking you to consider one thing. There's only one who is superior to you in this. Only one in this entire universe that's superior to you. And it ain't me. And it isn't me. And it's not me. And it taint me. See, so I don't care how you want to slice it, it's not me. So now, if there's only one person in this entire universe who is superior to me, and of course there's three in the one person, I understand that. Don't put on your poop robes on me, please. So then, if that's the case and I understand my position, then when I make myself subordinate, then only one has the right to speak. So when I hear as a subordinate, when I bend my knee and I say, "I'm subordinate to this," I'll guarantee you only Jesus Christ can speak to me. He'll use Paul. He'll use Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Moses, whoever. But only Jesus can speak. Because I'm trusting him that when he said, "I have this much power, and there's only one superior to me," so that when I listen as a subordinate, then there's only one above me, so then only one can speak, because the ones below me are not my subordinates. The ones equal to me are not my subordinates. So if I listen as a subordinate, I automatically ensure that nobody can talk to me but Jesus Christ. If that happens, I've got to get the right information. It's locked in that I get the right advice. It's locked in automatically. But you see, the minute you believe that you are superior, then everybody else that thinks they're superior can speak too. And that's why you get all these mixed messages. That's why you tell yourself, private dimwit ones tell you, "Yeah, go ahead and do that." And then Private Stupid says, why'd you do that? See, because you have all of these all these inferiors, all these equals doing the talking, because you never want to hear as a subordinate. And I'll tell you why you don't. You see, if you only hear from an equal, you can say no. If you hear from an inferior, you can say no. But when you hear from a superior, you cannot say no. So how can Satan ensure that you never hear from Christ? By telling you, don't listen as a subordinate. You're the one that makes the decision. He has to convince you first. Well, unfortunately, what happens then? Your children pick up the ball, and they won't listen. You say, why don't my kids pay attention? Why don't they listen to my authority? Why don't they pay attention? Because they don't hear you as a subordinate. They think they know more than you do. They look at you and say, what do you know? I don't, my mind's made up. How can we blame that child for that? When all they're doing is exactly what you're teaching them. So you have to hear as a subordinate, listen attentively, and then you have the absolute guarantee that no one can speak to you but the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who's superior to you. Now that is a comforting thought as far as I'm concerned. Now he says, now I want you to understand who's doing the talking, who I want you to obey. Your parents in the Lord, which means the Lord, but through your parents. Well, let's find out who these parents are, because I don't want to take away from your mother and father what belongs to them, but I also don't want them to have what doesn't belong to them. So now we look up the word parent from the Greek. Now, look, it says parents in the Lord. So all these definitions we have to add at the end, in the Lord. Children, obey those that cause you to be. Parents means that causes you to be. So we read this way. Obey those that cause you to be in the Lord. Now, think about mom and dad. Can you apply that to them? And not have lightning strike you right between the eyeballs? No. So if that doesn't convince you, we'll look up another definition. It means to be brought to. Children, obey those that brought you to the Lord. Again, zilch, zero for mom and dad. Now, they have a good a position, so you wouldn't be around to be brought to the Lord if they hadn't done their thing. But their thing and my thing is not the same thing. Parents means those that cause you to continue in the Lord. Children, obey those that cause you to continue in the Lord. Now, rather than think of just who this doesn't apply to, let's also start thinking of who does this apply to. Got to apply to somebody. Who does the Lord use to cause you to be in the Lord? Who does the Lord use to cause you to be brought to the Lord on a daily basis? Who does the Lord use to continue you in the Lord? See, apply it both ways. Parent also means children, obey those that follow in the Lord. In other words, you obey those that are following the Lord. God, even in baseball, but in any league, this would be strike four already. Or ball four, what do you think? Strike four. Children, obey those that cause you to grow in the Lord. Children, obey those that cause you to happen in the Lord. In other words, those that cause you in the Lord to be at the same place at the same time. Happening, in other words. See, what happening is present. Happen means what's present right now. Children, obey those that are married in the Lord. Obey those that caused you to be married in the Lord. children, obey those that cause you to be kept in the Lord. And finally, parents means those that are ordained to be in the Lord. Children, obey those who are ordained to be in the Lord. Now, you know who ordained me physically? You all did. When you voted me in, when you accepted me, that's ordination. When Jesus called me, he ordained me spiritually. When you accepted me, you ordained me physically. When you saw your husband from across the room, you said, Oh, wow. That was just your loins groaning, but that's another issue. I know your loins very well. They said the same thing the day before and the week before and the year before. See, loins are kind of dumb. You say, No, don't get excited, son. Don't get excited. Loins is loins and parts is parts. Those same loins that looked at you and said, oh, wow, said the same thing 500 times before. So don't get too exciting about the whole thing. So you see, when she looked at you, she accepted your spirit. Oh, man, I'd like to. And then one day she said, I do. She never has, but she said she would. So there was a spiritual ordination and a physical ordination. The same thing happens spiritually. He said, you obey those that God called and you agree to. That's what you expect of your wife. That's what your wife, by the way, expects of you. You didn't put a gun to her head, I don't think. Then again, I can't think of any other logical reason why she would have said I do, but maybe there is. But the point that I'm making is that she made a choice, and then she confirmed it. So now she's obligated, and so did you. But you did the same thing here. I never went out looking for you. In fact, when you first walked in, I said, my God in heaven, what have I done to deserve another one? So you see, you made a decision. God called you and said, you want answers, son? Yes, come here. I'll send someone to invite you. And he did, and you did. And then you sat here and you said, oh, wow, I like this. This is where I want to be. I accept this. So I was ordained of God, and then you confirmed the ordination. And then just like your wife and just like your husband, then you work the rest of the time to say, I've got a headache. Yeah. Not tonight, dear. I've got a headache. Is there any more Tylenol? Tylenol. What a pitiful excuse for the fact that you don't want to be held to. Nobody forced you. Can you see how there's a direct correlation between the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ, your relationship with him, and what happens in your home? You made a decision. I understand your lions had a lot to do with it, but you can't use that as an excuse. You should have learned by now. My tie's too tight. Sure. I get no respect, right? You see, all through life, God says, obey your parents in the Lord. Parents are those that are ordained to have authority over you. You went and you looked for that job. You said, I want to work here. I want to work here. And then they said, well, I want you to work here. So they said, I want you to work here. And you said, I want to work here. And then they said, okay. And then you said, I don't want to work. Typical. I got a headache. Yeah. Not today, sir. I've got a headache. All through life, it's the same thing. The same repetitious kind of cycling behavior. And it's so easy to take care of by just going back and understanding, I'm a child of the living God, produced and reared by those that I follow. Those that I hear as a subordinate. Remember when you first started taking drugs, stupid? You looked at another nitwit. And it's the only time that this has worked for you. Say, what an idiot this guy is. He's taking drugs, and I'm his inferior. I'm his subordinate. One time in your life that you got it right, you chose the wrong superior. But it worked, didn't it? All you have to do is notice how any group of children, any group of adults, they choose someone, and everyone who considers themselves subordinate to that individual will hear as a subordinate, they'll pay attention, and they'll follow the leader. I don't care what the leader's into, they'll follow him. Now, you know how that principle works. You've practiced it all of your life. And then when God comes into your life and says, look, child, let's not get exciting here. We're not going to change a lot of things here. Everything's pretty much the same. We're just going to change leaders. And then you look at the new leader and say, I'm not his subordinate. So you don't listen attentively. You don't heed the authority. And therefore, you break your vows. I didn't force you to come here. I didn't force you to choose me. And I wasn't forced to choose you, by the way. God sent you, and I'm happy with that. God sent you as an inferior. Not inferior in terms of anything out there, but as a subordinate in terms of, he gave me the authority. But with that authority goes the responsibility. So as a result, I spend hours and hours and days and days so that when you listen as a subordinate, I'll have something superior to tell you. You just don't inherit that position. And then you think that your wife, all you have to do is just kind of smooth out your eyebrow and she's happy. I think she needs a little bit more than that. I think she's justified in requesting more than that. But see, you grace her with an appetite. What's for dinner? That's your contribution? Parent in the Lord also means, comes from the word parent, which means a father or mother in the Lord. A parent means anything from which other things are derived, the source of things. Now we're talking about the Lord here. Who is the source of whatever comes from the Lord in your life? Who does God run it through? If you're too dumb to see that, check the parking lot. More than half of the vehicles out there belong to me at one time. Another week or so, that's going to go up. Furniture. Certainly every decent idea, everything you've ever learned that has any validity in your life. Because when you came here, your life was in the toilet.
That's right.
So now every decent idea, the source of everything you've learned, obviously is the Lord, but I'm the vessel. I didn't choose to be that way. It was kind of like, you're it, Tag, you're it. Musical chairs, the music stopped and everybody sat down. There was no place for me to sit, so I got to talk.
Yeah.
See, that's how much I had to do with it. See, I didn't earn this. I didn't work for it. I didn't even want it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I just happened to find myself in a group much like this. The music stopped and everybody grabbed the chairs and there was none left, so I just thought, well, I better talk. I didn't have a place to sit. No, there's more to it than that, but that's how much I had to do with it. Now, these parents in the Lord have to have the characteristic of a father and a mother in the Lord. Father means a man who has engendered a child in the Lord. Now, your physical father did engender a child. No question about that. That's a physical birth. I don't take anything away from that. But I'm not giving it anything either. It's got it. This means a man who has engendered a child in the Lord. Now, who is the man that's responsible for you having the right to God? Jesus Christ. Who is the man responsible for you having a right now to Jesus Christ? The Holy Ghost. Who's the man that this evening has engendered in you the right to have access to the Holy Ghost? Paul. Who is the man who has engendered the right for you to have access to Paul? Reuben Galvis. That's who. Not the Simpsons, me. So see, it's a man who has engendered a child in the Lord, and we start with rightful you're at, and take it all the way up to the man, Jesus Christ himself. Those are the ones you're supposed to obey. Those are the ones you're supposed to hear as a subordinate. But isn't it amazing that now that you're fully grown, paying your own bills. See, when you were a child and mom and dad were paying all the bills, don't bother me with your garbage. Just go play. Go somewhere with your friends. Go watch TV. Do something. Don't bother me. You were their subordinate then. And they don't want to have anything to do. No advice, nothing. Now that you are fully grown, paying your own bills, living in your own house, raising your own children, now they want you to be their subordinate. Several dollars short and a whole lot of years late, I would think. Your parents can't tell time. And a watch is not their problem. The calendar, they don't know calendar. They flunked calendar. They don't see. And isn't it sad that when they had the responsibility, they shirked it, and now that they don't have it, they demand it. Backwards. I wish some of your parents were here. They need to hear this. Amen. Father in the Lord also means a protector in the Lord. Father also means God as the first person of the Trinity. So obviously God as the first person in the Trinity is the parent that you should obey in the Lord. Oh yes, yes. Brother Reuben, we're not through with the definition of father yet. A Christian priest and teacher, one ordained to preach the word of the living God, which also leaves your mom and dad out. One who protects you and rears you in the Lord. Father means the one who takes responsibility for you. You know something, if you really think about it, when you were at your worst, your parents looked the other way. Did my best, it's at friends, it's at school, it's at this, it's that. They never took responsibility for you. And then along comes the Lord Jesus Christ into your life and says, Reuben, take responsibility for that person. You make it your job. I'm holding you accountable for them. You tell them the truth. You sit down and you listen to them. You be a servant to them. You take responsibility for them, and I will bless the whole thing. Now the minute that starts working, out of the woodwork, comes all these people saying, who does he think he is? Ask me, I know who I am. And I don't mind telling you who I am. I don't even mind telling you who the I am. I am is Jesus. And I am that I am. You see, I'm the viceroy. You can't tell the difference between a Christian and Christ, or you shouldn't be able to. You remember the message on the viceroy? He better act like a monarch. He better fly right up in front of that bird's face and say, on you. See, because that bird ate a monarch before and couldn't hold him down. Couldn't have made him sicker than a dog, even though he was a bird. So one monarch died to forever condition that bird that he will never, ever even give a dirty look to a monarch again. That's how sick he got. So the viceroy just comes along and says, hey, get out of my way. Slap your face in the middle. You think you are. Wow, this looks like a monarch. And the bird goes, ah, yourself. Edward says, dare I? Dare I take even a nibble?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. You dare not take a nibble. But you see, this individual, this viceroy moth, has so much faith, and they stake their life every day that that monarch forever conditioned that bird, forever. A little butterfly, just flitting around from flower to flower, has the faith that you say is impossible. And one day when you stand before Jesus, he's going to say, and they're going to fly in and say, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah.
We had faith in another moth, by the way. But you see, you don't have that kind of faith in your father. But you see, father isn't enough. I came from a family of only one parent. Try as she will, she wasn't enough. Most of you came from one-parent families. It wasn't enough. You think Jesus Christ is stupid? You think all of a sudden you say, oh, father's enough. I'm a Christian now. That's it. I don't need... There's a lot of empty seats here from people that think that. They didn't know that they don't need... But see, they came from a one-parent family, and they can't stand anything but a one-parent family. So when they're introduced to God, it's the father only, and forget the mama. Well, I'm going to tell you who the mother is. The church. Mother means that that nurtures in the manner of a mother in the Lord. Who can you ever remember saying to you in Jesus' name, because of the Lord Jesus, I'll help you with your rent, with this bill, with your car, I'll give you a car, I'll do this. Whoever did that for you in Jesus' name? Lunch. Has anyone ever walked in and say, in Jesus' name, let me watch your children while you go out and enjoy yourself this evening? Where did all that come from? Through the church. Through the mother. Through the one that nurtures us in the Lord. Mother also means the one that looks after you or cares for you as a mother does. You know what the problem is? You're hooked into a one-parent family. And some of you will say, well, no, I had a mother and father. This message applies to you. That's also to wake them up in there. Turn it up in there. And some of you will say, well, my mother and my father were there. You're a liar. You had one father. One person dominated everybody and everything. And it didn't matter whether it was mom or dad. One of them dominated, and the other one was protoplasm. They were just goo. They were just there. They were some kind of gelatin. They were something. They were like snot. Just wherever you put them, they kind of just stuck there until you went after them again. And I don't know which one of your parents it was, and I don't care, but you know you only had one parent. One was dominant. There was not two assuming their equal responsibility, with one protecting and starting and inventing and originating as a father, and then the mother feeding everything the father started. You had never seen nothing like that until you got here. Never had seen it. Your father would say something and your mom would start something different. Your mom would try to feed something your dad didn't start. And then your dad would start something that your mom refused to feed. So even though there were two people there, you've never had two parents in your life. And you see, that's why you have the difficulty here. That's why your mentality is, God is the father and I'm the mother.
Need I say more? Yes, you're a mother, all right. But I leave the gist of the story. Obey your parents in the Lord. You see, most preachers would skip that word in and say, that mean nothing. Let me tell you what that little tiny word, I-N, means. Obey your parents in the Lord. The word in means being a member or a worker at something. So, are your parents members and a worker here? No. You're a member but not a worker. The only person in this room who's a member and a worker is me. If you don't believe it, look at the checkbooks. If you ever find your name on anything other than reimbursement for money you put out, then you're not a worker here. See, just go wherever you work and go to payroll. And everybody they cut a check for at the end of the pay period is a worker there. Now, you can't be a worker unless you're a member. Now, even though you're a member and you don't want to work, but you get paid. So you see, the parents in the Lord are the ones that are members, and they are workers at it. I say, well, yeah, okay, but there's a lot of churches where the pastor gets paid and it doesn't work. Right. Not through with the definition yet. In means to be affected by the Lord. So you see, when you are in a church where the parent, the one who should have the responsibility, isn't affected. Don't do that. You shouldn't let your children run wild. And look at their kids, preacher's kids. Worst example. I made a decision long time ago. I don't have to anymore, but there was a time I was considering a leash and a ball and chain. Because I refused to let my children run loose while I try to propose something different to you. I have to be affected by it, or I'm not a parent in the Lord. I'm not a worker in the Lord if it doesn't affect me. In also means engaged or occupied. Children obey those that are engaged and occupied by the Lord. I think I qualify for that. Yes, we are engaged, by the way. And yes, he does occupy my time. Almost all of it. Children obey those that go by the way of the Lord. I've never taught you to go my way. I've never taught you that I know a way. I've never taught you that the way is my way. I've taught you that the way I go, the way of the Lord, the things I believe that work for me, look at me. And if it works for me, then do it. If it doesn't, I'll try. I love you so much. I say, we could be poisoning ourselves. We don't know if this is good food. There could be a chance this isn't right. Now, what would you say if someone brought in a nice dish of something that just looked delicious, and we were all so very hungry, but there was a chance that there could be something bad in there? And I would say to all of you, just a minute, let me sample it first. And if it doesn't hurt me, it'll be all right for you. If it hurts me, then don't eat it. I'll sacrifice myself. I'll put myself on the line. I'll try it first. Isn't that showing more love for you than I do for myself? Isn't that a type of Christ who said, I'll sample that for you? I'm not saying I'm Christ. Don't misunderstand. All I'm saying, everything that I've told you, I said, I'm willing to try it first. I'm willing to use it in my life so then you will know if it's right. I've never asked you to do it any other way. Now, I think that qualifies me to be a parent in the Lord. I think because of that, you would be safe in saying, this man must care about me. Now, as an individual, he couldn't have that kind of love. No one's capable of it. As a matter of fact, the opposite would be the truth. But somehow or another, I have a desire. And some would say, oh, Reuben, do you mean that? Forget it. If I even suspected that Jesus didn't know what he was talking about, I'd have gone out and got another job a long time ago. I know this works. I know it works before it works. Oh, Reuben, that is such faith. You know how I learned it? I've told you before. I had no choice but to try it. There weren't nothing else. That's how I learned it. So I didn't come with a broken wing flying in a circle and say, oh, Lord, help me here. No. I came and said, hey, I have nothing to lose. I'm starving. I'm 1,500 miles from home. Nobody knows me or cares about me here. I'm out of money. I'm out of everything. Oh, Lord, I turn to you. Yeah, sure. Yes, finally, huh? Yes, Lord, I turn to thee now, O most gracious Lord. Rube, check your wallet. Yes, Lord, ain't got none. Yeah, huh? Lord, Rube, where's all your furniture? Ain't got none. Where's all those homes you used to have? Don't have any, Lord. Where's your car parked? No license plates. Why are you turning to me? I ain't got no place else to go. And I'm not ashamed to admit that. Because it's the truth, and the truth is my friend. But it's sad. If I had to go through all of that to learn the truth, and then you choose to do it the same way and not benefit from the stupid mistakes that I made. That's the sad part. No? I don't have time to finish. But this is right. This is right. And the next time we get together, I'm going to prove to you that children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then I'm going to teach you about honoring your father and your mother, and how obeying your parents in the Lord and honoring your father and mother in conjunction ensures that everything goes well for you and you live long on this earth. If that isn't an indication, in fact, if that isn't vindication and justification that I have more concern for you than you do, then I don't know what is. And I don't know why in all of that you still feel that it's too dangerous to hear me as a subordinate. It's still too dangerous to trust me. It's still too dangerous to put the faith in the fact that I've only asked you, look and see me. If it doesn't hurt me, then would you try it? And even at that, years have gone by. And some of you still treat me like someone you need protection from. And I don't understand it. I don't accept it either. But I certainly don't understand it. But nowhere in all of this am I trying to take away what belongs to your mother and father. But I'll tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to impress upon you, do not attempt to give what belongs to the father and the mother to your mother and father. It does not work. But you see, what it really boils down to is you're obeying your father and mother, and you're honoring your parents in the Lord. And when you learn what honor means, you'll see, oh yes, he is such a joy. It's so valuable to have a man as Reuben. Oh, yes, we have such a nice preacher. Yes, we value him. Sure. You're supposed to value your parents and obey. Listen as a subordinate. Pay attention. You got it backwards. Your parents want now what they should have had then. And they wanted then they should have now. Miserable. Fail calendar. Completely. Have no idea what time is all about. And somehow really believe now that you should sit down as a grown person and say, Mommy, what should I or should I not, Mommy dearest? And I know that because when your wife says, no, you wet your pants. What are you talking about? I said you wet your pants. When your wife gets upset at you, you wet your pants. You pee your pants. Well, what do you mean? Any doctor will tell you when a person pees their pants, they are incontinent. They have no self-control. So when you tell me, I say, why did you cuss her out? Why did you do that? Well, I got mad and I couldn't help it. I lost control. You wet your pants. You have no self-control. You pee-peed. Having done that, then you get upset at your wife because she won't clean you up. You wet your pants, friend. You lost control. You became incontinent. So you see, when you lose control of your internal system, how can you blame your children when they wake up in the morning or they walk around and say, what did you do? And the humidity behind them is 110%, and we live in a desert. Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't help it. Oh, you lost control. Yeah, that's it. Lost control. Why? Because you do. Why are you eating that, brother? You know that's bad. I don't know. I don't want to, but I can't help. I lost control. It just jumped in my mouth, and I tried to fight it off, and I don't know. You peed your pants again. No control. That's why I feel so sorry for these children. Yeah. Saying, Rube, please tell them I can't help this. Please tell them the only way I'm going to change is if they change. Help me. That's why they flock around me, and I look at your kids, and they just look at me and say, Man, I smile, and then, Reuben, here's Reuben. You think it's me? Uh-uh. They know that Jesus Christ is the only hope they have.
That's right.
And they know that this family is the only vehicle they have.
That's right.
They also know that God has chosen me
right.
to be the vessel. But they also know God has chosen you to be the vessel in the family. And they look at me, and I can almost see in their eyes, our pot leaks. It's full of holes. And I say to people, I say, why don't you have enough in your family? You certainly got a big enough pot. And the Lord's no respecter of persons. You're full of holes, just like your stories. Full of holes. So you leak it all out. Self-control is something you're not capable of. Why? Because you don't hear as a subordinate. You don't know the difference between parents, father and mother. You don't know the difference between obeying and honoring. We touched on honoring tonight. Wednesday, we're going to deal, or we touched on obey today. Wednesday, we're going to talk about honor, make the distinction between the two, and I'm going to show you, you are already so perfect. You are already honoring. You are already obeying. All we have to do is just this. And nothing else has to change. Just this. Honor the right one, obey the right one, and everything else falls automatically in place. But you're complicating this way beyond what God wants it to be. Very simple. Listen, and you will hear. Brother Dennis, would you close the service in prayer?